As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, right on time, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time for a Show Me Showdown once again. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there is a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. What a night. What an interesting night. Lots of research done between the last time we were together. Welcome to the Thursday, March the 5th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That is oraclebroadcasting.com. We're on the web. Everyone's on the web. www.vocallocal.org, a little website of mine. You can go there and check out Plan B. Also, visit OzarksVoter.info, another interesting site, that one by the Southwest chapter, the far Southwest chapter of the Ozark Property Rights Congress. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, I hope, hard facts and workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely not alone, and you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. To say that this is the home of philosophical radicalism, whereby our fingertips, if nothing else, we are hanging on to the idea that freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or simply pick up the telephone and call in. For those with unlimited long distance or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 and join me live on air and from around America and around the world. You can call in at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. That's host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and around the world again on the micro broadcasters, you too can be part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, P.O. Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, the Big Mo, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, those websites are vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in line remains 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. Market reports today. Who's on first? The rhetoric just absolutely abounds. And we'll go back in again and talk more about this, putting a historical foundation on the new economic order, part four. We'll take your calls and much more. Let's go into those market reports quickly, get started before the break begins. For Thursday, March the 5th, 2009, in active trading, New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. New York time. Gold was trading up $9.40 to $915.30, scuffling along there just above the $900 level. Silver was trading up 20 cents to $13.11 an ounce. Platinum up 16.11, trading at 10.62. Palladium, virtually unchanged, 197. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, plus or minus 6,876 points. The NASDAQ trading 13.54. The U.S. Dollar Index up 51 basis points, trading at 89.09. Watch that number. It's getting high. Will it break out over 90? We'll have to keep an eye on it. Crude oil was knocked around a little bit today, down at $1.60, trading at $43.78 so far in trading. The gold-silver ratio at 69.75 doesn't seem to prove anything. The low in the market and the high in the market in the spot, the fluctuation was between $909.90 and $919.50. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Promotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music / business or a Freedom / Patriot related profile, CCW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Thursday morning, March the 5th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. My name is William Roberts, and as I like to say, we've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you. And if you've just joined us, we went through the market information a little early today. Kind of want to sweep that along and sweep it aside. We've got so much material to cover in this two-hour section that I don't want to waste a moment, basically. But anyway, I don't have any financial news today. Financial news. As I said in the opening, if you missed it, go back and listen to the archives. It's certainly available for you on a daily basis. But there's rhetoric. The rhetoric abounds. As I mentioned yesterday, it seems to me that all of the various newsletter writers and all of the pundits and the analysts and whatnot, they haven't a clue. This market is rigged like the proverbial roulette wheel. As I say, we want to feel around under the table at this time and see if we can't try and find that magnet that the dealer, if you want to consider it, the one that drops the ball, is pressing his foot upon, controlling and rigging the outcome of the game. There are lots of controllers in this new economic disorder, as Larry Bates calls it, the new economic order. It's been around a long time, nothing much new about it. We're going to go into that and continue the direction that we began earlier in the week. But just to give you some ideas, as I mentioned yesterday, I'm going to just give these out again. Might do it from time to time until we all start getting wise to it. But the idea of foreign exchange, we've talked about that now. Everybody should be aware that foreign exchange is currencies and other monetary instruments that have to be circulated within your country. And when you are doing business internationally or transnationally, somehow or another, you need to approach the money changers and convert your euros into dollars and your dollars into pesos and your pesos into pound and so on. But anyway, right now, it takes 1.29 Canadian dollars to buy a U.S. dollar. It takes 15.28 Mexican pesos to buy a U.S. dollar. It takes only 0.8% or 80% of a euro to get a U.S. dollar. And it takes 0.71% of a U.S. dollar to get a U.S. dollar. Excuse me, 0.71 of a British pound. So there's varying rates of exchange. And again, this is tied in some regards, loosely, however, and certainly in a rigged system, but loosely somehow associated with or tied to or making reference to the gross domestic product, if I understand what I've been reading these past days correctly. It's a rigged game, and we're inside it. We're kind of caught inside of it, but we're caught inside of so many different layers of fraud, I wouldn't know where to even begin in the frauds. We all know about the corporate identity of the countries, and we all know about our own corporate identities. We're faced with it every time you go to the post office and you open up, you know, your post office box, as I do, and withdraw the mail that has come through the U.S. Postal Service, which is, I don't believe, U.S. any longer, no more than the Federal Reserve is federal. Nevertheless, you take them out and you look at it, and there you can see your corporate ID name associated with that box or that post box or that mailbox out on the highway there where you get your mail. Nonetheless, all things considered, we have these corporate identities. And so we're dealing with corporations. We're dealing with transnational corporations. We're dealing with financial transactions that are going on internationally. And there's so much history in all of this that it staggers the mind. The deeper I've gone into my own library pulling stuff out, the books don't seem to be diminishing here. The stacks just seem to be growing. Unless we want to change the title of the broadcast to Financial World History or something like that, we're going to have to draw this discussion of the finances somewhat to a close, but I don't want to bring it too quickly to a close because there's still a lot to go. So basically what we did is I started on Monday or last week. Can't even recall the day I began this now. These days just kind of go from one to the next. I'm trapped up here in cyberspace. But we started out with this idea of the various PACs and conferences that came up starting right after about 1900 and running forward from there. And we've been identifying the various different players and these various different international banking organizations that have been corporations that have been created. And we have been through the process of reading these encyclopedia articles and dictionary work and whatnot, identifying more and more of these players and trying to get a basic understanding of just who they are, what they are, and who's involved. As I like to say, who's on first? Question mark. Big question mark. But we found yesterday the International Finance Corporation is tied in directly to the International Development Association. We see these two pairs, the International Finance Corporation, known as the IFC, established in 1956, and the International Development Association, the IDA, a really big idea, established in 1960. And that we can see that the membership in these banks is a prerequisite for a membership in the World Bank is prerequisite for a membership in these organizations. And all these institutions share the same boards of governors, executive directors, the presidents of the bank, ex officio officers, so on and so forth. So let's go to this International Finance Corporation, and then we'll go on to other stuff. The International Financial Finance Corporation, known as the IFC, is an affiliate of the World Bank. Again, once again, back to this idea of the World Bank. And in some articles, we've seen that the World Bank is the International Monetary Fund, and sometimes it's linked to something else. But we can see that there's a World Bank out there. So it's an affiliate of the World Bank that invests in private industry in developing countries. We get that same call every day. I don't know, seem to who it is. I think it's an automatic thing. Because I pick up the telephone, you see, and instead of ignoring it, it'll call me back at the same time. Computer technology. All right, interrupted there. The corporation was established in July of 1956. The principal objectives of the IFC are to provide equity and loan capital for productive private enterprises in association with private investors and management to encourage the development of local capital markets and to stimulate the international flow of private capital. Now, whose capital is private here? Whose capital is being stimulated? We've got another stimulus package here, the International Finance Corporation. Whose capital is this? And what is this capital? I think we find out that most of it is tax money, money that's been stolen from the labor of others and thrown in to this system. The corporation invests in a wide variety of industries in developing member countries where sufficient private capital is not available on reasonable terms. Reasonable terms. What is that supposed to mean? All of its investments are made in association with private business. Without that, the guarantee of any government, and it does not provide more than a portion of the total finance required, which we talked about yesterday. The IFC expects its financial participation to be substantially less than 50% of the total cost of the project. So we're dealing with public-private partnerships inside the banking community. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
And we've turned once again, you know, I keep looking at this stuff trying to figure this all out. It seems like we're dealing with such an enormous fraud, such an enormous system, an international system, but a centuries old system. It's so huge that it's all, you can just scarcely wrap your mind around it. And I think this is probably why it has been swept out of most of the encyclopedias that are published these days, and swept out of the classrooms, and even swept out in a large extent out of the university classrooms, because it's just too big to wrap your mind around. There is hardly enough time in the day, or months in the year, or months in a semester or a quarter to even study this stuff. But it is this sweeping away, it is this hiding it under the rug that really has cost us so much trouble. Lots and lots to think about here, but let's just drop back in and work on this article and finish it out. All of the funds subscribed are not immediately available to the bank. Only 10% of the $100,000 paid for each capital share is actually deposited with the bank. So I guess I should go back and I just start this paragraph over again. The basic source of funds for the bank is subscriptions to or purchase of capital shares worth $100,000 each. And again, this is denominated in U.S. dollar, I guess. And, of course, these articles largely were written back in the, this one was written in 1972. Some of them that I've shared with you were back into the 50s. But these values, of course, are changing all the time. So the minimum number of shares a member nation must purchase varies according to the relative strength of its national economy. Once again, we hear about these GDP figures, the generally dumb public figures, but we can understand then why that they manipulate those figures. Because it has to do with the establishing the relative strength of the economy in regards to this world community, these world banking interests. And so they have certain parameters, certain things that they track, just as we track gold, silver, platinum, palladium, Dow Jones, NASDAQ, USDX, crude every single day here on this broadcast. And we're starting to add the foreign exchange, the dollars, into it. So we're tracking these kind of things. These are indices or indicators, indexes, as to the relative strength of national economies. And all of the funds subscribed are not immediately available to the bank. Of course, here, only 10% of the $100,000 paid for each capital share is actually deposited. So this is more fractional reserve banking, I think. The remaining 90% is deposited only if the bank calls for the money in order to pay its own obligations. So we've got all these trillions of dollars being thrown around. Here is somebody being asked to pay their own obligations, calling in all their chits, as it is. As of June 1970, the subscribed capital of the bank, again, we're talking about this international, excuse me, I'm reading from the wrong article. That's wonderful. Let me go back and see which one we're talking about. I've got so many pages here. Talking about the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development. I'll just continue. This is good. So we're talking about the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, and the remaining 90% is deposited only if the bank calls for money in order to pay its own obligations. And again, as of June of 1970, the subscribed capital for the bank totaled $23,158,800,000, and of this sum, only about 10% was so-called paid-in capital, meaning that it was deposited with the bank. So we'll drop out of that article and go back down to where we had left off really before the break. I just glanced up and all of these numbers just, and all of these various banks are so similar you can scarce determine which one you're dealing with. And if you're not confused, I'm confused and I'm looking at this stuff myself. Now we'll get to the right place. The corporation, this is again the International Finance Corporation. The corporation invests in a wide variety of industries in developing member countries. And if you've studied anything about the United Nations, you know that the real drive here, the real focus of the United Nations is always on these developing countries. The International Migration and Development Agenda is this idea of moving people on the global plantation from the southern hemisphere to the northern hemisphere and from east to west. As all of the labor pool just kind of flows around like cattle. in the great pasture, looking for grass to eat and a place to sleep. Pretty interesting phenomena, actually, going on. But the idea is always goes back to looking at these developing member countries. And for the life of me, I cannot understand what the obsession is with these developing countries. There seems to be an absolute necessity in the mind of the world controllers to bring everyone up or everyone down, as some like to think, bringing everyone down to the level of oblivion peasant, or the corollary or the obverse or the reverse of that would be to bring everybody up to that Wally and June Cleaver standard with a two-bedroom Rambler and a car in the driveway. For those people who make their money off of construction and development and economy and resource distribution and transportation and fuel and lighting and selling bathroom fixtures and magazine subscriptions and televisions and radios and all of the rest, once they've saturated the market, let's say they've saturated the United States of America, they've just, you know, they've dumped every BlackBerry into the United States that BlackBerries are going, you know, the United States can afford or will absorb. So their supply, even though they can sit there in China and crank these things out by the bazillions, the supply has outstripped the demand. Everyone that wants a BlackBerry has one. So we have to look to new markets and new places and new fields. Everybody in the United States of America that needs a car probably has a car. And if you don't, you can find a used car that will satisfy those needs. Buying a new $42,000 pickup truck with a living room suite of furniture in the cab is just not on everybody's plate these days, especially as we start tightening our belts one more notch. But there are places around the globe where people are still huffing along on foot, or they've got an ox cart or a donkey. And like Henry Ford, until those people can afford to buy the product, then they won't be able to fill that niche. They won't be able to fill those needs. So there's a drive to alter the economies so that the great corporations can continue to sell these products. We've talked in the past here about the difference between want and need. And as long as we believe that we want everything that there could possibly be, then of course we're a good consuming people. But when we don't have the shekels in our pocket and we're sick of the shackles of control, then we have to go to new fields, we have to go to new marketplaces to find consumers. And with billions and billions yet to be served in China, taking all of the manufacturing out of the United States and taking it to China and fulfilling their wants, trying to address their wants, would obviously look far more profitable to a corporation than to be here in the United States of America with all of these people that have picky attitudes and discrimination as far as preferences are concerned. It's pretty easy to deal with people that are broke as a joke and working for slave labor, as opposed to people who have been pampered in this union trade economic base that we've got now, where people are making $60, $70, $80, $90, $100 and more an hour, chatting in the chat room about teeth. Going to a dentist, it's a real wake-up call. It's no wonder that there's such a strong medical lobby. The medical profession is just raping us. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Become Vocal Local.
Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution. Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.org or Broadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisers. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate control mockingbirds don't want you to know about.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, so we're back discussing this International Financial Corporation, or the International Finance Corporation, known as the IFC. It's affiliated with World Bank. And we find here that the financing that the IFC, financing by the IFC is available for both foreign exchange and local currency expenditures. So it goes right back down to this, looking at this basket of currencies. You can either buy foreign exchange or, you know, these currencies or the local currencies. Interesting when you see the amounts that we're talking about here. Initial commitments by the IFC, again, this was back in 1972. You can imagine what they would be today. The initial commitments by the IFC normally range from $1 billion to $20 billion. It also commits funds for promotional purposes to help bring an enterprise into being. The projects the IFC feels to promote are those with a reasonable prospect of eventually being suitable for financing by the corporation in accordance with established criteria. On June 30, 1970, it had paid in capital of $106,954,000, subscribed by 94 member governments, and a reserve against losses as of the same date of over $58,811,336, all the way down to the penny there this time. And the IFC is authorized to borrow from the World Bank amounts up to a limit of 4 times the corporation's unimpaired subscribed capital and surplus. At the close of the fiscal year of 1970, it had borrowed $200 million under this authorization. And, of course, The headquarters of the IFC are in Washington, D.C. Always it comes back there again. Now, before I go into the next little segment, what I want to do is read one last one here. And this is Dumbarton Oaks. Dumbarton Oaks, or Dumbarton Oaks, depending on how you pronounce it. And it's the name given to a World Security Conference. It's always security. Safety. The safety cult. The name given to a World Security Conference, which opened at Dumbarton Oaks, an estate in Washington, D.C. On August the 21st, 1944, the name Dumbarton Oaks is also given to the plan drawn up by that conference. 39 delegates from the United States, Great Britain, and the Soviet Union. Here's those big three socialist countries again. Met to discuss plans for organizing the Allied nations of World War II in an organization to preserve peace. After a 6 weeks discussion period, the representatives of the Soviet Union as a green advance left the conference, and delegates from the nationalist China joined it. So the Chinese and the Soviet Union didn't want to be in the same room at the same time, and so they had to make an arrangement there for one group to leave and another group to come in. But the delegates had no power to act on proposals. Delegates at the conference discussed the creation of an international organization to be known as the United Nations, which would seek to maintain peace and security through the solution of social, economic, and humanitarian problems. You can imagine that ECOSOC is one of the most powerful of all of the United Nations organs or bodies. The organization was to rest on foundations of equality and justice, and membership was to be open to all peaceful nations. The delegates agreed that provision must be made for arbitration of international disputes and for the power to enforce the organization's decisions. And many of the ideas suggested at Dumbarton Oaks are in the UN Charter, so on and so forth. See the San Francisco Conference, United Nations. That was from the World Book Encyclopedia on an article of the same title in the 1958 Volume 4 edition. So now we have the creation of the United Nations coming into this picture too. And this is the interesting one here, the Bank for International Settlements. Here's another interesting encyclopedia article, again this time out of the Encyclopedia Americana 1951. The Bank for International Settlements, here's a quote. Governmental institutions have in recent years extended into foreign spheres on account of its official status and potentialities as an international banking institution rather than because of its intrinsic importance at the present time. Mention must be made of the Bank for International Settlements. Although technically a private corporation, as are all the governments of the world, by the way, I believe, all of them, although a technically private corporation, its official sponsorship gives it a prestige it could not otherwise enjoy. Up to the present, it has been engaged almost exclusively in effecting transfers of an official character, officials, corporations, and has been of negligible importance in the international banking field as a whole. And if you can believe that, got a bridge in New York for sale. While its fate must, for the present, remain obscure, some have seen in it the kernel of a truly international banking organization, if not indeed a super central bank. So I'll read those last two sentences again. This is 1951. The author is saying perhaps as much as he can say and still have his article included in the encyclopedia. Up to the present, it has been engaged almost exclusively in effecting transfers of an official character and has been of negligible importance in the international banking field as a whole. While its fate must for the present remain obscure, some have seen in it the kernel of a truly international banking system, if not indeed a super central bank. And as Joan Vian says, the Bank for International Settlements is the central bank for the central bankers. And here briefly, Basel or Baal worship. Basel, Switzerland. One of the largest cities in the Federation, the capital of the canton of Basel-Stadt, 43 miles north of Bern, quote, its advantageous position on the Rhine, a little below the point where it becomes navigable and at the terminus of the French and German railways, has made it a center of trade and travel. It is the seat of a United States consulate and the bank for international settlements. Just information to fit in our minds when we think about this new economic order. Let's set these aside. You know, you've got to understand that a lot of people are involved in these things. And I don't want to drag it out, but I'll just refresh your memory that when I read the Thomas Paine writings, one of the things that he was talking about was basically that governments are organized for war and that they live for war and that what they cannot be conducting war against their neighbors, they turn and conduct war or wage war on their own inhabitants. And rather than living for commerce, we live for war. So we sometimes get led into this goat rope of thinking that all of these various and sundry countries around the world are enemies. We're constantly being asked to perpetuate national prejudices and national hatreds. In the past and on other networks, I've talked about nationalism, and we'll have to do that here too, probably. But underneath the heading here in this Encyclopedia Americana, under a long and lengthy article, The Pacts and Conferences, we go back to this one that we've already read, but I'll just start it in again. United Nations Monetary and Financial Conference, that's Bretton Woods. And then we'll just drop down to a subhead, the International Monetary Fund. And the International Monetary Fund, again, 1951, shall consist of a provisional 8,800,000 allocated according to quotas as follows. Now, I'm not going to give out the $1 million U.S. figures because it would just be interminable and unintelligible. You wouldn't follow it anyway. But I'll just say this is a list of the people that were the countries that were involved, the corporations involved in this International Monetary Fund. The insiders, the players, if you will, the United States, the United Kingdom, and by the way, this is in the order of prominence and voting shares. In other words, how much money they committed and those are all based on quotas, again, referring to a percentile of their gross domestic product. But here's the list in the order of precedence, if you will. United States, United Kingdom, Soviet Union, China, France, India, Canada, Netherlands, Belgium, Australia, Brazil, Czechoslovakia, Poland, Union of South Africa, Mexico, Yugoslavia, Chile, Colombia, Cuba, New Zealand, Norway, Egypt, Greece, Iran, Peru, Philippines, Uruguay, Venezuela, Iraq, Luxembourg, Bolivia, Dominican Republic, Costa Rica, Ecuador, Guatemala, Haiti, Ethiopia, El Salvador, Honduras, Paraguay, Nicaragua, Iceland, Liberia, and Panama. All players in the game. We'll be back. Stay right there.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate control clock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
You know, look at this sort of stuff, folks, just enough to pull your hair out. You know, I spent all day yesterday. Well, I had a flurry of chores that I need to get done, and I wasn't able to type up as much as I wanted to for today's broadcast, but we're going to go into these exchange-traded funds for a while and look at them a little bit more closely. But in this process, looking at this International Monetary Fund and the players, the list of players, you know, we hear about the G7, the G8, the G20, and so on. It comes out of this list. It comes right out of this list. And these central bankers, you know, like Timothy Geithner and Benjamin Bernanke and so on and so forth, all these central bankers, they round out the board of governors, secretaries of treasury, and members of the central bank, the Federal Reserve, and in other countries similarly. They round out the board of governors of these various institutions. And all of these various banks and all of the various ways that they've deployed them, they all have this same organizational structure. You know, if you heard me say it before, and I'm going to say it again, it's like the small town football coach. One time, 10 years ago, we won a football game. And what they did in that game was they ran the play of up the middle for 3 yards and damn the consequences. And because he was able to win the pennant for his team or win one for the Gipper, that's been his favorite play ever since, and that seems to be the only play they know. And because this particular system, this central banking system, is the way that they organize their central banks and get people to fall in and fall in line, they just do it over and over and over and over again. And so then for those of us who are watching and paying attention, when we see this system, when we see this formula being rolled out, it should be heads up as to who the players are and what's happening. And that's what I'm starting to see in these exchange-traded funds. But it's going to take some more research. I want to be sure of what I'm saying before I roll it out on air. What I can be sure of, however, is that this is based upon foreign exchange and currencies, so it's worth the time, I believe, to know more about foreign exchange. So let's just go into, again, the Encyclopedia of Americana, 1951, and look at this article on foreign exchange. And a corollary here is foreign trade. and international trade. And so we might want to look at that. But let's just go into this article. It's an interesting article, lengthy. Probably won't get it all. Not even in a two-hour broadcast can we cover. Well, we might be able to cover this today. I'd like to go elsewhere as well. But this is worth starting. Let's do it. Foreign exchange. Foreign exchange may be best described as the system by which payments are made between countries having different monetary systems. Now, you know, if all of the countries on the planet could agree upon and used gold and silver or something else, I don't care whether it's puka shells, it really matters little, although gold is virtually indestructible and it has a long history as a monetary metal. But if all of them used the same, then we could just drop this whole nonsense of foreign exchange. But just like at the Tower of Babel, so to speak, mythology or truth, however you want to look at it, when all of the people were broken into different tongues, tribes, and creeds, let's say, assuming that any of this stuff has historical validity, and many believe that it does, but when everyone was, their languages were confused, and their customs and their tribes and their traditions were split up in the great diaspora, just use another kind of a, in my opinion, a ludicrous parallel, but just say from the Garden of Eden and driven to the four corners of the planet, then we all, from that time forward, we've been having difficulty interacting, to make it that simple. The terms exchange and foreign exchange, now these are terms, and these are closed in parentheses, so they are capitalized, and so these are very, very specific things. It's like saying corporation or person. The terms exchange and foreign exchange are also used as meaning the drafts drawn by merchants and bankers resident, key phrase, in one country upon merchants and bankers resident in another, as to the part played in foreign exchange by the Bank for International Settlements, consult Article 12A, which we already have. But again, we're relating it, we're tying them in, tying all these parts and pieces together. Why? Because we have a strong move in this country by a small number of people to end the Fed, end the Fed, end the Fed. And what I'm trying to say in this discourse and analysis is that you're looking at just one tiny part of a global system, and no matter how many signatures you get on petitions, you're not going to get anywhere with it. And so I think it's counterproductive. What we really need to do is focus on the disease rather than the symptom. But certainly, the Federal Reserve banking system of the corporate U.S. is an instrumental player, and almost every one of these various and sundry children, these ill-begotten, illegitimate stepchild, they all seem to congregate around the Fed in Washington, D.C., so perhaps there is something to the movement. I'm not saying that they are misguided. I'm just thinking that there are more effective things to do with our time. But let's go on here a little bit further. Origin. What is the origin of foreign exchange? Here's a little history lesson. The best opinion is that the foreign exchange system as we have now come into existence early, as we now have, came into existence early in the Middle Ages as a result of the commercial dealings between the northern Italian republics, and the Levant. Now, you know, if you read the news, you listen to the news and things like that, they talk about the Middle East. That's not the Middle East. That's not where all the trouble is. The trouble is in the Near East. And if you have encyclopedias and atlases that go back anything more than the last two decades, which seems to be all the longer most Americans can remember, you'll see that the Near East includes Israel and Jordan and Transjordan and all of that and around in Turkey, and that's the Near East. And what's happening further east is the Far East. But that area used to be known as the Levant. And for a long, long time, Palestine or Palestinia. That was another part of it. But the Levant was all-encompassing there. And you'll find that throughout history. Venetian merchants, for instance, Venice. I read the history of the chain, if you will, of republics. You know, I'm kind of moving along a plan here of education, our homeschool classroom, so that we get a better understanding of the world that we live in. But this very long-lived Venetian Republic, Venice, Venetian merchants, for instance, purchasing goods in Alexandria. Now, where is Alexandria? Egypt. Named for Alexander, the Greek. Purchasing goods in Alexandria found that on account of the prevalence of piracy in the Mediterranean, and stop there, we just dissect these sentences little at a time, the prevalence of piracy in the Mediterranean, problem, reaction, solution, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. If you want to create banks in the Mediterranean, you have got to make a reason for the people to accept the banks. You bring out the pirates and people call for safety and security. And so then you introduce your banking solution, what you wanted in the first place, but no one would have gone for without the problem. You with me? I'm sure this audience is. So they found that on the account of the prevalence of piracy in the Mediterranean, payment for such goods in gold was extremely hazardous. So rather than trucking about carrying our gold, understanding that to steal was a sin, and to kill and rob and pillage and burn and all those things were sins, we set that aside and we looked for government or political solutions to global problems. In this case, they found that carrying the gold from place to place was a burden, and they wanted to find a better solution, and so they did. Again, it being the case that the merchants of Alexandria were also purchasers of goods of Venice, well, there's the music. We'll be back for the second hour. Stay with us as we find out more about the merchants of Venice.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Thursday, March the 5th, 2009, second hour of the broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. If you've just joined us, we have an hour behind us that's available on the archives and an hour straight ahead. Lots of news out there today, but none worthy to print, so I didn't bring any of the news with me. Instead, we're doing a history lesson. Again, my name is William Roberts, and I've got real news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you. There's so much funny money news out there that it's enough to make you want to tear your hair out, but we went through that. And I'm not going to repeat the financial market for today. The bottom line of it all, it's grim, and getting worse. But at the same time, there may be some kind of a bottom being set in the precious metals market from which it may or it may not rebound and go further up, or it may retreat and go further down. It's hard to say. The markets are not natural. They're not driven by supply and demand. These are managed markets. And so we report on them much as we would track the progress of a disease. Our goal here on Become Vocal Local is to correctly diagnose, isolate, and then attempt to cure the disease rather than getting trapped in symptomology and victimology as we've discussed on previous broadcasts. In the last 15-minute segment of the prior hour, I just started in on this encyclopedia study of foreign exchange. And so we're trying to find out a little bit about it. This is from the origin of foreign exchange. We'll go as far as we can until the break, 2 minutes and some. Bear with, keep note, take notes, stay up with me. The best opinion, again, is that the foreign exchange system as we now have it came into existence early in the Middle Ages as a result of the commercial dealings between the Northern Italian Republics and the Levant. Venetian merchants, for instance, purchasing goods in Alexandria, found that on account of the prevalence of piracy in the Mediterranean, payment for such goods in gold was extremely hazardous. It being the case that the merchants of Alexandria were also purchasers of goods in Venice, a system was devised whereby instead of actual gold being shipped back and forth, merchants in Venice having money owed to them from Alexandria were able to receive it from other merchants in Venice who had payments to make in Alexandria. Gradually it came about, as a result of these arrangements, that Alexandria kept balances in Venice and vice versa. Payments, instead of being made by means of actual gold shipments, came gradually to be paid by drafts drawn on such balances. Foreign exchange. I've got so many rupees in this box over here, and you've got so many drachmas over there. I'll have my merchants carry receipts for rupees and exchange them for drachmas over there, and it all just becomes funny money. Here's the principle stated. A clear understanding of the basic principle underlying foreign exchange transactions may probably best be had from considerations of an actual international transaction. No, now our encyclopedia is going to give us an example. A merchant in Memphis, Tennessee, we will say, has sold 100 bales of cotton to a spinner in Liverpool, England. For the merchants in Memphis, the important thing is to realize upon his sale at the earliest possible opportunity United States currency or credit at a bank. And notice the use of the term realize, to make real. This, I can see we have a break coming. We'll pick it up on the other side and get very, very real. Stay with us.
My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So I think we can understand then that this concept of not trucking all over the Levant, trucking all over the Near East and crisscrossing back and forth across the Mediterranean carrying great chests of gold, there was a certain intelligence in all of that, certainly. I don't know how many have ever looked at Petra, P-E-T-R-A. There's a couple of books out there on Petra, but Petra looks to me, some people think it's a religious community. I don't think it was. It looks to me like a banker's central bank. It looked to me like on the King's Highway between Egypt and on north to Greece or east to Iran and other places. It looks to me like it was a banking system. A banking system. Maybe if you can find some photographs on the web and take a look at it. A man named Capt, C-A-P-T, wrote a book titled Petra. I have it in my library. I can't remember the rest of his name right off the top of my head. But it looks to me like a series of vaults. And the fronts, these were all carved into sandstone walls, I believe, sandstone cliffs, in a very narrow valley. And, of course, they had an altar in the high places. You could go way up high and do sacrificial things or maybe study the stars. But each of these sandstone vaults was carved out of these walls, and then they had a facade, an architecturally designed carving that looked like the front of a building, a facade carved onto these walls. And they may have been indicative of which country, because of the architecture, or which city-state that vault may have belonged to. That's my speculation. In order to get in and out of the place, you have to go through a very narrow cut. It's a tiny, tiny little cut. It looks to me like you have to dismount from your camel. It's like threading the eye of the needle. You have to get down and walk in. It would be easily defended, because in order to come or go, you basically have to go through the eye of this needle. So there's all kinds of stuff that you might be able to find in relation to things written in the Bible that might relate to this place called Petra, food for thought. I'm back here again, and we're talking about foreign exchange, and that would be a great way to have foreign exchange be the money changers there on the King's Highway, a place to stash your gold or your other things, jewels or whatever you might have. But again, a clear understanding of this basic principle underlying foreign exchange transactions may be best had from the an example here. And we're going into this idea of a merchant in Memphis, Tennessee, who sold 100 bales of cotton to a spinner in Liverpool, and the merchant in Memphis, at the earliest possible opportunity, wants to get paid. He wants to realize this. He wants to see currency, United States currency or credit, at his bank. And this payment he can receive in two ways. Either he can draw a draft upon the buyer of the goods in Liverpool in sterling, the currency of the buyer, and sell the draft in Memphis or New York at the current rate of exchange, there's those exchange rates for American dollars, or two, the buyer of the cotton in Liverpool can send to the merchant in Memphis a draft drawn on some point in the United States and payable in United States currency. Whichever way the transaction is arranged, the desired result will be obtained, that the seller of the goods in Memphis immediately receives payment in bankable funds. And that's what we want to do. That's what we want to achieve in barter. We want to have a medium of exchange. And it doesn't matter where the buyer's from, whether he comes from Chicago or some other place. If he's here on the farm and he wants eggs or beef or mutton or whatever, he's going to need to have some medium of exchange which I can immediately bank. That doesn't necessarily mean that I have to go to a bank to put it in a bank. It just simply means that I need to have a medium of exchange that I could immediately exchange for something else. And this medium of exchange that we call Federal Reserve notes is much the same, isn't it? You cut a bunch of firewood and you stack them up along between a couple of fence posts out along the highway and put a sign up there that says firewood for sale, and someone stops up and says, well, how much you want for those ricks of wood? And I say, well, I got four ricks there and I want 35 apiece for them. And they pay you for them and they load them in the back of their truck and drive away. Now you're holding 35 times four or three or however many ricks you sent of Federal Reserve notes. They're of absolute no value to you. So what you need to do is you need to go swindle somebody else. So you go into town and you fill up the truck with diesel fuel. And unfortunately, these days, it's going to take about four ricks of wood to fill up one tank load of diesel. And so you give all those Federal Reserve notes to the guy that's selling the diesel. He immediately has to do something with those Federal Reserve notes. Otherwise, he's left holding the bag as we play musical chairs on the sinking Titanic. So he immediately rushes over to the grocer, the candlestick maker, the baker, the butcher, and so on. And he exchanges Federal Reserve notes, and the process just continues and continues. And ain't nobody getting paid. Everybody's just circulating this fraudulent debt notes. Now, if you had sterling or something like that, you might be able to sit down and cast them into bars or make jewelry out of them or something like that. But, of course, why do that? Why bother? Who'd want to? Just keep the sterling and look for someplace else to invest it. Going to this a little further now, the banking machinery requisite for the conversion of sterling drafts, again, these are just paper sterling drafts, like a gold certificate, for instance, in Memphis into United States dollars, or for the furnishing of drafts drawn in sterling to American merchants who have payments to make abroad, is relatively simple. It consists simply of a number of banks and bankers with the necessary facilities for purchasing foreign currencies offered them and for selling to their clients such drafts drawn on foreign points in foreign currencies as may be desired. Got it? Simple. Piece of cake. It must, however, be clearly understood that the foreign exchange banker is not merely a broker in bills, buying bills from parties who have them to sell and selling the same bills to other parties who want them. having bought exchange drawn in foreign currency on a foreign point, the foreign exchange banker does not resell those same bills, but instead sells a draft made by himself upon his correspondent bank abroad. The bank abroad, out of which these bank drafts are paid, is being continuously replenished by remittances from this side of foreign exchange with the banker, which the banker buys in the regular course of business. So everyone understands that these funny money piles, this is banking. It's definitely foreign exchange banking. And there's a lot to it. It has very little to do with your ricks of firewood or your tank load of diesel. It's an industry in itself. Foreign exchange is a commodity. Nobody makes these exchanges without extracting payment. A fee is going to be made in all of this. And the more hands you can touch in a drug deal, the more money the drug dealers can make. The more people that touch the foreign exchange, the more there is there to make, obviously. Now, I don't understand all this stuff perfectly. I'm just trying to get a glimmer. But this is what I'm getting out of these articles. The foreign exchange banker, in other words, maintains a depository abroad with whom he deposits the bills of exchange he buys and upon whom he draws the drafts which he sells his clients. And, well, we'll have to figure that out on the other side. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or our issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate controlled mockingbirds don't want you to know about.
Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CTWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music/business or a freedom/patriot-related profile, CTW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Oh,
And we are back once again right here on Become Vocal Local. Now, if you're, dear listeners, if your mind is swimming on this concept of foreign exchange, if you're already lost, let's say, and I've certainly had to read this article several times, but if you're already lost, then you can understand a little bit of this, the reason why so few people really do actually know anything about the banking systems. We're only three paragraphs into an article here in an encyclopedia published in the 1950s about foreign exchange, which is just one teeny tiny little teeny minuscule part of this whole puzzle. And we're swimming, trying to figure it out. Now, when I talk about becoming vocal local and restoring our constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, one precinct, one county, one state at a time, and finding representatives from we the people, the men and the women who live around you somewhere, and we bring these people into this system, the established two-party political system, even if we have to walk into that system backwards with our nostrils welded closed, throwing salt over our left shoulder and waving willow wands to keep the evil spirits out of our lives, somehow, some way, we need to get rid of this established two-party political system because it's loaded and larded with politicians. It is an illegal, unlawful, ungodly, unholy, and unthankful corporate structure that has absolutely nothing to do with representing you. Without a representative, you have no voice. Unless we're going to go back to some feudal existence and gather around that proverbial strong man in his castle and come out with him whenever he goes out in his suit of shining armor, we're going to need to find some way of engaging the beast. Some of that is education, but some of it's going to require boots on the ground. And on the chat, we've been talking briefly about this concept of putting boots on the ground, how many people are actually doing anything. Knowledge is powerful, but it's only powerful when it's combined with action. I can talk endlessly hour after hour, day after day, week after week, network after network, and unless we actually put this into practice, in just, what, 16 months now, we'll have another round of elections going. And here in Missouri, Southwest Missouri, Congressional District Number 7, the local county and Congressional District Committee are already bringing forward their strongman to replace the congressman or the senator. I think if they're looking for a replacement here for Senator Bond, Kit Bond, who's going to step out. So there's more involved in all of that. I don't know if I'm correct on that. I've just started to look into it. But there's a man that's being brought forward, a very young person named Jack Goodman, by the local county committees and the state committee as a either senatorial or a congressional candidate. But nevertheless, whether you're talking about your town mayor or your county sheriff or any of these other elected positions, your school boards, etc., if we do nothing, we're going to find ourselves in 2010 being saddled with a new breed of prostitutes. All right, you can call them politicians, but a new breed is going to be released, and we will be no closer to representation than we are today. So it's really going to be up to us. You know, that old finger-pointing game ends with you when you stand in front of the mirror and you point your finger at yourself. Anywho, long story. That rant behind us. Let's go back and study a little bit more about foreign exchange so that maybe we can come away from the end of this broadcast knowing just a slight bit more about the banking system. It's so difficult for me to stay on track because, you know, the rants are just endless here. The possibilities for going off on tangents is unlimited. the man behind the curtain, the money masters, laugh and laugh and laugh. They look down from their ivory towers, you know, the bank buildings. They look down and they just laugh and laugh and laugh at the sheeple who have no clue of how this system actually functions. And some of them only have been given a few clues. Not to say that the quote-unquote financial elite are all that bright. They're just bright enough to occupy offices on the 95th floor, and you're not. Let's go into this a little further. As a result of the arrangements, well, I'll just go back up again, pick up this other paragraph too. It's important. The foreign exchange banker, in other words, maintains a depository abroad with whom he deposits the bills of exchange he buys and upon whom he draws the drafts which he sells his clients. And daily, these balances are being drawn up and replenished. And daily, as I read these reports, financial reports, and now starting to include the Canadian dollar, the Mexican peso, the euro, and the British pound, all commodities, all foreign exchange, we can see that daily and hourly almost, probably, the exchange rates are changing. And for your own edification and in the future knowledge to know that the numbers that I'm giving you are the midpoints between the bids and the asks here. And again, as I always state at the beginning of the broadcast, this is active trading as of, in this case, 9 o'clock a.m. New York City time. But it's an ongoing process. It's changing all of the time. And we're dealing with a commodity, and the commodity is foreign exchange, and that is currencies or their monetary equivalents, if I understand it right. At all times, they are maintained at a certain point. That, of course, depending upon the standing of the banker and the extent of the foreign exchange business in which he is engaged. Some foreign exchange bankers carry balances at only one or two of the more important foreign money centers. Others carry balances at as many as 20 or 30 foreign points. And as we've seen, the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, is considered by many to be the central banker's bank. As a result of the arrangements they have with their foreign correspondents, and the balances they carry abroad, foreign exchange bankers are at primary points are always in a position to buy any exchange which may be offered to them and to sell any exchange which may be required. A large packing house in Chicago, for instance, may have made a shipment of meat to Amsterdam and as a result be offering its drafts drawn in guilders at 15 days sight upon the buyer of the goods in Holland, or upon some Dutch bank designated by him. Of these drafts, the packer, if his standing is good, that brings in status and standing and all of that, jurisdictions, if his standing is good, happens to be the current rate of exchange at the time for bills of this character. Some banker will readily take them off of his hands, knowing that he, the banker, can send the bills to his correspondent bank in Amsterdam for credit of his account, later drawing his own bills upon the balance thus created. And these are very, very long paragraphs. And they're long paragraphs intentionally. They're tiring to read. They're difficult to understand. One of the things that I like to do when I'm preparing for the radio, and I've had time last night, which I didn't, I would have typed this all out and broken the paragraphs up and had taken the opportunity to do some highlighting and underlining to make it easier to speak it out on air. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth a thousand keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And again, those call-in numbers are 512-904-8014. And internationally, around America and around the world, you can call in at 866-841-1065. We're talking about foreign exchange. We're talking about money. We're talking about the financial elite and local voting precinct groups is basically a way of trying to wrap our minds around the situation we find ourselves in, trying to get a better handle on this global financial system, the system. We don't understand it. That's why we're duped by it. We're trapped up inside of this thing. It's a Ponzi scheme, if nothing else, a system of frauds, but it's also convenient for international banking, which is a function that is essential, you know. We don't talk about isolationism. We know and we realize that in order to have stainless steel, you're going to have to go someplace to get the various additives to iron that makes stainless steel, stainless steel. We don't have much of it here. There's other things I think we're shy on in the United States, in our ground reserves, in our natural resources, various and sundry minerals and things. Some parts of the world, they have better fish than we do, and so it's handy to be able to get back and forth, and some people have other things that they make, you know, linen and, well, camel hair, for instance, you know, camel hair coat. Well, anyway, you get the idea. There are things that we want from other places. Pepper, tea, spices, all of that, the spice trade, cocaine, heroin. Oh, yeah, that too. And so there's a reason for all of this. There's a reason for this particular season. In the chat, we talk about war. Rumors of war, of course, it's always the emergency. It's the emergency that gets you out from the common law. It's the emergency that gets you out from underneath the Constitution. Then you can have emergency war powers, and the corporations can rule, as opposed to the we the people ruling. The corporations run the planet. Planet Inc., I guess they could say, no longer Planet Earth. Back into this article, try and draw a little bit more from it. Very possibly, at the time that he buys the bills drawn against the meat shipment, the foreign exchange banker knows of a place where he can sell drafts drawn by him at a rate of exchange which will show him a profit on the transaction. Now, if you just happen to be a member of any of these various and sundry international banking institutions, therein lies the nix. This is what it's all about. Knowing where you can buy and sell currencies at a profit. The money changers in the temple, for instance. You've come from Greece and you want to go to Jerusalem and you're going to go into the temple and you're going to need to make an offering, and all you've got is Greek coin and you need to have temple coin and you need to exchange it, and the going exchange rate has been set, and so the money changer sits there and makes 8 or 9% on every transaction day in and day out. Not a tremendously large amount. After all, you've traveled all that way to go to the temple, so you're willing to suffer the money changer's expenses. But in the long term, it's not how much you make on one transaction. It's the old Ray Kroc principle, billions and billions served. I don't have to make $1 million on the first hamburger. Just let me make a few pennies. And then I'll just multiply my process and duplicate it everywhere around the planet. And you make billions and billions, or Walmart or any of the others. Nor does it make any difference whether the drafts he buys are drawn against meat or wheat or copper, or whether they are payable at sight or at 15 days sight or at 90 days sight. You notice they're using a term you're not familiar with, and neither was I the first time I read it. But it's payable on site, but here they're saying payable at site. Payable at site is at a location, or at 15 days site, or at 90 days site. All is grist that comes to the foreign exchange banker's mill. His account with his foreign correspondents is a melting pot into which he can put his bills of exchange of every variety, the whole appearing after collection and discount as a cash balance upon which he can draw his own drafts. And so we're using public and private funds to finance private development around the world. And this brings us right back into the maw of the Big Orange Book, Agenda 21, Blueprint for Action, if you will, the Program of Action for the 21st Century Sustainable Development, where time and again I've stated over and over again that sustainable development, really, if you wanted to reduce it all down to a one-word definition, it could be demand, in my opinion, demand, and that it's all about concerns, environmental and developmental concerns, corporate identities, environmental corporations, concerns, developmental concerns, the Bank for Reconstruction and Development, a local real estate developer, economic development, social development, money, corporations, profits, proceedings. It has nothing to do with easing the plight of the polar bear swimming in the Arctic Sea from ice flow and ice flow. It has nothing to do with global warming. Carbon credits are a way of extracting money based upon an individual's input or output, or a person's input or output, if you're speaking in the corporate terminology. Anyway. That's my interpretation. I may be in error. If I am, please help me to see the light. The profit made by the foreign exchange banker comes from the fact that he can regularly secure a better rate of exchange for the drafts drawn by himself, which he sells to his clients, than he has to pay for the mercantile bills of exchange, which he buys from other clients, and with which he is continually replenishing his balance abroad. All of this 1950 stuff here, this is back when telegraph, you know, was doing the big deal, doing the main work, but there were already computers running then. But all of this has been turned into something entirely different in our internet world that we live in now, and everyone has the PC, the politically correct communication device that sits on our desk that you're listening to me over now, perhaps. All of this changed with this immediate electronic system that we all have our fingertips on. And that's why we're heading towards this idea of exchange-traded funds. We saw the run-up in the price of gold spot bullion prices running up and touching near 1,000. But for most people, that was kind of like a ho-hum event. Because the average man, Joe the plumber, that nebulous question mark fellow, has virtually no access to the profit that could have been made on that $100 run-up. And if you're only holding one or two or half a dozen ounces of one of these precious metals, by the time you get it all packaged up, shipped out, and then back to you in the form of a check, I mean, it's difficult to see if you're going to make any profit. And then once you do receive it, because of the way the market is set up right now, where the demand is greatly overstripping or outstripping the supply, if you were to have sold into that rise or that spike in gold and realized a $100 per ounce profit, what then would you put your profit back into? No one would have any gold to sell to you. No one would have any silver to sell to you. And these exchange-traded funds are opening a new doorway here where people can make rapid capitalizations and or avoid losses by making electronic exchanges in these funds. And some of the hard metal people don't want to discuss this because it's like the 1,000-pound elephant on the coffee table in the living room. This is just altogether too obvious. This is a new animal. This is a new, there's a new trick in town. There's a new game in town. But of course, one of the strongest arguments for physical possession gold is that it is physical possession. It's not just a funny money piece of paper. It's not a receipt, a warehouse receipt. It's actually in your possession. And it matters not whether the manipulators of the electronic exchange system are out there stealing from their clients or whether they're being up, you know, it's almost impossible to hope that they would be forthright and honest in their dealings. Obviously, they're going to be in it for a profit. So we'll get into that a bit more tomorrow. Hopefully this afternoon and this evening I'll have more time to type out some words in that direction. We'll pick it up after this break. Stay with us and thanks for your patience thus far.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
And we're back. There's the violin. Strings seem to be getting wound up and rewound. Again, back into this idea, this foreign exchange. So we can, it's a complicated process, isn't it? You would think that it could be done, we could do without it, but when we start to look into how useful it is and at what purposes it serves and the great distances involved in all of this and the opportunity, you know, it's one thing to be a champion for liberty, but it's another to take the liberty of others away. We don't want to do that. Somebody out there is providing a service, really, when they exchange, do foreign exchange, you know, when they deal in foreign currencies. They're facilitating the international trade process. In a way, they are bartering. They're bartering with foreign currencies. They've made a life out of it. Maybe they've got big footlockers full of different dollars and rubles and rupees and all the other things. It'd be difficult to have the kind of commerce, the transnational commerce that we have without some of these kinds of things going on. But we have this public-private partnership part of it that really bothers me. If these were all private people engaged in private institutions, in private corporations, if you will, with their own private wealth, that would be one thing. But the commingling of public and private funds to accomplish this is another thing. At what point were you ever consulted on the use or the utility of the money that was withdrawn from your labor, your checks, which in itself is another story, related chapter in this ongoing saga of banking fraud, or whatever you want to call it, hocus pocus, funny money. But when were you ever consulted as to whether or not you wanted to have the money, the monetary equivalent of your sweat and blood, converted into a gold mine in Zimbabwe, for instance. When we go through these various and sundry wars and rumors of wars and the 22-day pummeling of the Gaza Strip by the Israelis using a lot of American money and equipment to do their deed, their dirty deed, how do you or I profit? Do we? Would that money perhaps have been better spent somewhere else? Is there any validity or any utility in taxes in general? Do we walk into a goat rope regardless every time we consent to having a government that stands outside of a constitutional system or beyond the natural law or beyond the common law, engaging in commerce rather than in securing the blessings of life, liberty, and property to the people? If governments are instituted among men to secure these blessings of liberty, so to speak, of freedom, what on earth are they doing financing private development in foreign corporations at private profit to themselves? The inequities in all of this system are just incredible. The longer and the more years I spend researching this, the more unbelievable the whole charade becomes. But I do this, Lord, for several reasons. One, for my own knowledge, for my own edification, and then, of course, because I feel bound to, instead of just holding it all in my mind, this is kind of like therapy, I can get put it back out on the air and then maybe I can sleep better tonight, which I generally sleep quite well these days. Nevertheless, when we approach the idea of solutions, we're going to need to do solutions at a grade level higher than maybe second or third grade. And so often, even from those who are lauded as being constitutional scholars and whatnot, I hear nothing but third-grade solutions. We really and truly do have global problems that are going to require global solutions. And yet we know that our greatest impact can occur on a local level. So we're kind of like in a rock in a hard space, or a rock in a hard place, depending on how you look at it. There are things that we can do, things we must do, and we are unfortunately fresh out of a superabundance of time. As the Fabian socialist model of the tortoise has progressed in a tortoise-like manner, from the inception of the Fabians, of Sidney and Beatrice Webb and George Bernard Shaw and all of that rut, persistent. As we proceed from that level and we go into this modern phase, the end game of the Fabian socialist process, we find that they have switched now from the tortoise to the hare. The end game is going to have to ramp up its pace. As I stated a couple of years back, about 4 years ago, in a letter to Dave and Joyce Riley, actually, Power Hour, the deer, if we want to use a hunting example, the buck, is out in the middle of the pasture. He's exposed. He's out of the cover. And if we're going to make meat right now, we're going to need to drop this buck deer while he's in the middle of the pasture where we can see him, because if we don't strike quickly, the chances are good and the odds are high that he'll disappear into the mist of time as he goes into the tree line on the other side of the pasture, and then we have to start the entire process of hunting once again. Any of that make sense? Time is not on our side right now. The global cabal are dedicated to accomplishing this in their lifetimes, and their lifetimes are growing very short. Heinrich Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, the Rockefellers, and their prodigy. And they're dedicated to however many centuries it takes to get it, but nevertheless, they want it now. They realize that with the advent of all of the various and sundry researchers and writers of the past 20 years, their window of opportunity is rapidly closing because the people know what the jig is, and their jig is about up. So we've got a lot of work to do, and we have precious little time to get it accomplished. And focusing on the symptoms, as some have done for the past 7 or more years, hasn't gotten us any closer to victory or restoration than where we were the day that the towers fell. There are political solutions to these global problems, I believe. Stopping this maniacal rush is going to require a lot of intelligent action and a concerted effort by a great number of people, many hands making light work. And all politics truly is local, because it starts right where you are. And it doesn't make any difference which one of these politicians or bankers or congress critters or the various and sundry lobbyists and all of those people sleep somewhere at night. And when they wake up in the morning, they are right where they are. And what they do throughout the day is just an extension of right where they are. So all politics are local. It's just that for you and for me, living here in Southwest Missouri, a lot of politics is happening quite a ways away from me, but it's all founded upon what's happening right around me. So there's work that we can do locally, and effective work. A lot of this Ponzi scheme, a lot of this fraud, relies upon your and my voluntary compliance. You have to accept the corporate identity before the corporate identity applies to you. As long as you know in your heart that you are a man or a woman and that you're not a person or a corporation, then you exist as a man or a woman, and then the rest of your life, if we continue this way, you'll have to fight to prove it and to keep it. One slip up and you become a corporation again. And then you've got to start digging out afresh in the snowstorm. Hey, we'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening. I hope some of this made sense. And until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for our lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or our issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate controlled Mockingbird don't want you to know about.
My face. Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CTWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music/business or a freedom/patriot-related profile, CTW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit our website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home
of Cutting Edge Talk Radio.